Titus this morning, Titus chapter 2, a little change of pace. How many are hot? How many are cold? How many don't have any feelings at all? Okay, all right, good. All right. We'll go with the majority, the strong majority. Come right in, excuse me, pardon me, come right in, pardon me. I guess it was about a year ago that I began to talk to Jeff Reason, who is the camp director at Forest Glen Bible Camp, which, by the way, just for your information, is 1,439 miles from Gray, Tennessee, both ways. And we started planning a long time ago for this trip. And so as time went on and we were kind of scheduling stuff for the summer, this summer we tried to keep that date clear and keep Bible school and all these things in place. And even up to a year ago, our planning for this trip affected our life. And then, 4 or 5 months ago, we started talking to people and finding out who wanted to come and making plans and booking motels and getting vehicles ready and sending money there so they could buy all the things to build this building. And then the last 2 or 3 weeks, things got intense and it really affected my life. And much of my attention went toward it. And then the last 2 or 3 or 4 days, it was just, all Nova Scotia, all preparation. As we were looking forward to this trip, it just really radically changed my life. And there is an event that if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, there's an event that you know is coming. Now, you may not have thought about it this week, but you know it's coming. And it should radically affect the way you live. By the way, can I stop? You remember that? I want to thank Larry for teaching last week. I was able to listen to most of it yesterday while we were in the van. And I say amen. Amen. I told him last week before I taught, or 2 weeks ago, I heard an advertisement from a church very close to us. I said, the Christian life is not about rules. Well, I know what he's trying to say. It's a relationship to Christ. But I guarantee you, our verse says, he that hath my commandments and loveth me, what does he do? And keepeth them, he loves me. If you really love God and you love Christ, you will have a lot of do's and don'ts in your life. Okay? So I say amen. I agree wholeheartedly. Good. So, okay, are you back with me now? We're going to change gears again, okay? So this event is found in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 through 14. Let's read that and we'll go to town here. Here we go. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. And by the way, that's not lack of alcohol. That is soberly as in a right mind and a serious mind, righteously and godly in this present world. Here it is, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now look at that verse real quickly. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. And notice, by the way, in our Savior, Jesus Christ. What do you know from that verse about Jesus Christ? He's God. He's God, and he's coming for us. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. And again, I go back to Larry's lesson last week. A believer should be different from an unbeliever. If you look at the life of a believer and the life of an unbeliever, they are diametrically opposed. They are totally different. They should be. Okay? When you go to work, people ought to know you're a believer. Now, peculiar here doesn't mean as in strange and weird. Now, some of us fit that category too, but that's not necessary, okay? It means different, okay? He says in verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. So we're talking about the blessed hope this morning. The blessed hope, I want to give you two main points. Number one, the identification of the blessed hope. And look, number one, at its character. Two words, blessed and hope. Blessed means what? happy, something that is joyful, something that you look forward to with great anticipation. Hope in the Bible is not used the way hope is used today, is it? How do we use the word hope today? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I hope it doesn't rain, or I hope it doesn't get too hot, or whatever. Something we have no control over whatsoever. Now, that's not the Bible hope. The New Testament Bible hope is about something that is certain, and it gives us hope. Now, he said something's going to happen, and it is blessed. And it's something that we have great hope and expectation in, something we anticipate with pleasure. Let me give you a couple other verses to help you. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19 says, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Listen, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. The hope is an anchor. The thing, it's an assurance that something's going to occur. 1 Peter 1, 3 calls it a living hope. You're in Titus. Turn back to chapter 1, verse 2. Titus 1, 2. And he said, in fact, we'll start in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness in hope of eternal life. Now, if you're here this morning and you say, Gary, I hope I have eternal life, that's not what it's talking about. Most people you talk to, if you die today, you know you're going to heaven. Well, I sure hope so. That's not what it's talking about. That's not the Bible hope. This is an assurance. Something you have, and in this verse, it's based on the fact that God cannot lie. So here is something that is a blessed hope. So there's character. Number two, it's coming. When will the hope come? When do we get the blessed hope? Now, what is the blessed hope? In reality, what'd you do to these people, Larry? What is the blessed hope? I've heard Jesus Christ. Can I have more than that? Eternal life in heaven. That is the blessed hope. Now, it may be talking, obviously, in this passage about the rapture. It could. Now, if you're a believer, there's one of two ways you're going to see the Lord, aren't there? What's the first one? Through death. Yeah. And obviously, we don't want that, do we? You've heard Preacher Lashley often say he's looking not for the undertaker, but the upper taker. And that's pretty good. And that's a great truth. But you know, the simple matter of fact is, if the Lord tarries, you're going to die at some point. I know that's encouraging today, okay? I just want to help you with that. But it is through death, when we pass through that valley of the shadow of death, that we will see Christ. Now, it would be much better, wouldn't it, if we don't have to face the pain, the sorrow of death, and the Lord just comes back and boom, we see the Lord. And the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That'd be a whole lot better, wouldn't it? And so we're looking for the Lord to come back. But the simple matter of fact is, the blessed hope really is being with Christ in heaven. Whether it's through the rapture or through the resurrection, one of the two. So, number one, the identification of the blessed hope. Number two, instruction about the blessed hope. What are we supposed to do? Okay, you're back in Titus 2, verse 13, and it says, we're talking about the blessed hope. What are we supposed to do about the blessed hope? Look for it. Look for it. Looking for the blessed hope. Now, this is an interesting word, and I'm not a Greek scholar, and probably nobody else here is either, so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time with the Greek words, but it is a compound word, and the first part means forward. The second part is to accept or receive. It is in the middle voice, so it's not something that you do, but something that happens to you. And so what you have is, we're looking forward to something that's going to happen to us. Let me ask you a question. Let's do a survey. Now, I know it's hard to remember everything that happened this week. But how many of you were thinking this week, at one point, someday I'm going to be with the Lord. The Lord is coming back, or I'm going to die. How many of you had that thought this week? Oh, you did great. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be looking for the blessed hope. Looking ahead, eager anticipation and longing to wait expectantly. It's like going on a trip. By the way, today is my wife and I's 35th wedding anniversary. Isn't that exciting? I mean, it is for me. I don't know about her, but she's put up with me, so that's exciting. And she has talked for years about wanting to go to Maine and drive along the coast and see the lighthouses and the fishing villages. So as we drove through Maine, which was not on the coast, we went straight up 95. We stopped the rest area, and she grabbed 5 or 6 books. And we're working on this with great anticipation about going to Maine. How exciting. And so we're anticipating probably going in September sometime, kind of put off our celebration till then. But we're making plans, got all these books. I've talked with a lady who has a bed and breakfast in Bar Harbor, Maine. And we're making all these great plans, and we're excited about it. And hey, it's going to be great. We've set the dates. We're working. We'll probably drive unless somebody wants to give me a couple $1,000 so we can fly. Just a little subtle hint there. And, you know, we're buying all this stuff. We're getting ready to go. And we're just really excited about it. We're excited about going. Have you got plans like that maybe this summer? Going on vacation? How many are going on vacation this summer? How many are already on vacation? Okay, yeah, a lot of you. I can tell. All right. And you make plans, and it's exciting, and you look forward to it. And this is what he's talking about. Looking forward to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for the blessed hope. Let me give you a couple other illustrations in Scripture. In Luke 2:25, there's a man named Simeon. Let's test your Bible knowledge. What's so special about Simeon? He stayed in the temple. Good, good. What was he doing? That's exactly right. Very good. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, what was he looking for? We're looking for the second coming. He was looking for the first coming. He was just waiting. His whole purpose for being there was for the coming of Jesus Christ. This same idea. Hold your place in Titus. Flip over to 2 Peter. Chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This idea is seen there. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Right after 1 Peter. 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, that's not really true. They haven't. There was this thing called the flood, and there's all kinds of things that occurred. But they were saying, you know what? It's been a long time. The Lord hadn't come. He's not coming. So they're going to live any way they want to. But look at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is, oh, there's my word, long suffering to usward. Aren't you glad? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to. Why hasn't the Lord come back yet? Here's one reason. What is it? And what else? What does the verse say? The next verse, or the end of the verse. He's what? He's waiting so more people can get saved, right? He's long-suffering. He's waiting, and he said, but look, verse 10, but the day of the Lord, now this is the revelation, not the rapture, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also, the works that are therein shall be burned up. He said, boy, the Lord is coming back, folks. He's coming back. You better get ready. You better be looking. Better be looking. So the record of the instruction. Finally, the results of the instruction. There are four. Okay? Now, we know the Lord's coming back, or we will meet him in death. There's going to come a day when that occurs. So what? So what? Let me give you four things real quickly. Number one, the results of the instructions. Number one, you better be ready. And what's the first thing you got to do to be ready? You need to be saved. You need to make sure you're a child of God. You need to make sure. You need to know if the Lord came back today that you'd be taken to heaven. Do you know that? You have that assurance in your heart that if the Lord returned today, you'd be taken to heaven. If you have that assurance in your heart, would you say amen?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Just to know. Just to know. That if your heart stopped beating right now, you'd be in heaven. Now, why is it? How do you know that? Because you come to church, right? Well, we're glad you're here. We really are. I'd hate to have to teach myself. What a terrible audience. Because there's a God who loved you so much that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And Jesus Christ came and died for you and died for me. And if you will place your faith in the work of Christ and receive him, you become a child of God. And you have the assurance that heaven will be your home someday. What a wonderful thing. If you don't have that assurance, here's the great news. You can have it today. By the way, when should people get saved? What does the Bible say?
Now.
Now. If you're not sure of heaven, today is the day you ought to receive Christ. You know what? You can do that right where you're seated right now. Isn't that amazing? If you will turn to Christ, place your faith in the work of Calvary. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great truth. And you can know. You can know. I almost taught this week on assurance of salvation. Decided not to. I received an email from a boy who, it was a man now, grew up in our church years and years ago. Lives in North Carolina. And he said, Gary, I'm really struggling with my assurance of salvation. And I wrote him an email and gave him some material and things. God doesn't want you to live that way. And the answer to that, folks, is to believe God. Believe God's word. Rest in God's word. Know that what God says is true, and you can have salvation, and you can know it. Now, I assume that the majority, if not all of you, have done that. So I'm not going to spend much more time there. But notice back in Titus chapter 2, really before he talks about looking for the blessed hope, in verse 12, he said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope. So not only salvation, but secondly, what should we have? According to verse 12. Separation would work. Sanctification would work. I have chosen... Actually, sanctification would work with salvation. Then you have two S's, so that would have been much better. I had purification. Remember when you were growing up? You were at home. And you knew Dad was coming home. And Dad had said, you know, before I get home, you need to wash the car. And you hadn't washed the car. And you know Dad gets home at 5:15 on the dot. You know he's coming. What do you do? If you have any brains and you don't want punishment, you run out there at 4:45 and you wash the car and it's just sitting there beautiful and Dad gets home, right? Well, you know he's coming. Now you know the Lord's coming back. Now you knew Dad was coming at 5:15. When's the Lord coming? And so he says, look, with the Lord coming back, you need to live a pure life. It needs to be clean. Think about your life. Are there things in your life that you're doing that you would not want the Lord to come back when you're doing them? Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord came back while we're in church and we're all spiritual and we all look good and we're all doing right? We need to clean up our lives, folks. And we saw the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 3. Peculiar people, different, clean, pure, holy, spotless. Remember the little chorus? Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. I tell you, folks, if we live a life where we're looking with great anticipation for the Lord's return at any time, we'll live a pure life. We'll clean it up. Change some activities. Yeah. So number one, salvation. Number two, purification. Number three, and this is not really found in the text, in this text, but it is found throughout Scripture. Consolation or comfort. When you have a problem that will never end, boy, that gets hard, doesn't it? But when you know there's going to be a day when that thing ends, it makes it a whole lot more bearable, doesn't it? I've mentioned this before. I have an elliptical machine at home. If you don't know what that is, it's an exercise machine, and it's a grueling workout. I have a 30-minute thing that I do, not enough. But what it does, it starts out real easy, and it has these little bars on, you know, and they go up and they go down. And it starts out, I think the first 3 minutes, it's like on one, you know, and you're just going to 10, and it's just great. Yeah, I'm the man. I'm in shape. This is wonderful, you know, and you're just flying along. And then about 3 minutes, it goes to two bars, and you're thinking, I'm okay. And then suddenly it jumps like to five bars. You're going, oh, my soul. Now, if the next 30 minutes I had to go like that, there's no way I could make it. But I know that in 4 minutes, it's going to get easier. And I said to myself, Seaman, any dummy can do this for 2 more minutes. You can do this. You've only got 1 more minute. You could do another minute. Now, if I'd had to say, oh, man, you got 29 minutes. You could do this. I'd say, no, I can't. I quit. You know, go watch TV, sit on the couch, watch somebody else get exercise, playing football or something. But I know it's going to get easier. And then the last 3 minutes, it's the, what is it? It's not warmed down. What is it called? Cool down. Thank you. That makes more sense. Okay. And of course, typically I'm a little behind. I try to go to 2,000, whatever it is, the measurement is. And so then I'm really going to town. This is great. I'm the man. This is wonderful. 30 minutes. But I tell you, I couldn't do that if it was hard the whole time. I know the difficulty is going to come to an end. And folks, I've got good news for you. No matter what you're facing in life, there's coming a day when it will end. I had a professor in college who would take out a half sheet of paper, and he would say, this too will come to pass. And it did. And that happened a long time ago, and it's over with. And they will come to pass. And someday it's going to all change. You're going to have a new body. It's going to be no sickness, no pain. I'll be honest with you, when my mom passed away, and I talk about this a lot, I know they do, but it's just obviously very personal, passed away 4 years ago. And the thing that has helped me the most is when I said goodbye to my mother, it's not permanent. If I'd had to say to my mom, Mom, goodbye, I will never see you again, that would have been terrible. But when I said goodbye to my mother, in fact, my dad did not say goodbye. He said, good night, dear. I'll see you in the morning. And what a great truth. It's temporary. All the things. The separation right now is temporary. We were together for, my mom lived to be 83, and now we're apart. Hallelujah, there's going to come a day when we're going to be back together again for all eternity with the Lord in a perfect body in heaven, worshiping the Lord. Oh, that's going to be great. I haven't signed up yet, but I'm going to get a day where I get to lead the choir and the trumpets. Can you imagine? And the orchestra, full, huge orchestra, thousands, and they're all in tune. And the director knows what he's doing. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. And you know what we're going to do? We're just going to praise the Lord for all eternity. Wow. Isn't that going to be great? It's going to be wonderful. Folks, hey, it's temporary. Rita, it's temporary. Some of you folks going through trials. I want to remind you, it's temporary. Steve, your body is racked by pain today. It's going to come a day when you're going to be healed permanently. No more pain. No more disease. No more suffering. No more deterioration. Wow. What a comfort. What a comfort. So salvation, purification, consolation. I've got one more. We're done. Finally, motivation. Motivation. You see, we're a lot like the men whom the Lord or the master called in one day and said, I'm going to a far country and I'm going to leave you guys with some talent, some money, and you get 5 and you get 2 and you get 1. Now take it and invest it and use it. And I know the word talent is used in a different way, but God has gifted every single one of you in the body of Christ with gifts and abilities to be used for His work. Now the Lord's in heaven. But there's going to come a day of reckoning. There came a day when the master came back and he said, hey, you with 5, how'd you do? And he said, oh, I got 5 more. And he said, oh, blessed art thou, enter the joy of the kingdom. And he called the guy in with 2. And that guy said, hey, I've got 2 more. I've got 4 now. And what did the Lord say to him? Well, you did all right. Not as well as the guy with 5, but you can get in anyway, right? No. The Lord said, he said exactly the same thing to that guy. See, we say, well, you know, that guy, he's multi-talented. He's going to get to heaven, a great reward, and God will really be happy to see him, but I don't have those talents, you know. No. That's not how it is, folks. God has talented all of us differently, and our job is to use the talents and abilities God has given us for the kingdom of God, and there will come a day of reckoning. By the way, you remember the guy with 1, don't you? How many believers are like that guy? And they never use their talent for the Lord. Never use their gifts for the Lord. By the way, can I put an old plug here? I need new choir members. I need sopranos. I need altos. I need basses. Today I need tenors. Caleb, you may be... Oh, Mike, I thought you were going to be gone today. I'm glad you're here. Good. We've got 2 tenors. Great. Because I know 2 or 3 are gone. We need help in the choir. There are so many things around this church to do. You ought to be doing something in the body of Christ. Now, there's going to come a day of reckoning. And our lives are going to be tested by fire. What's going to last? Things you did for Christ. What a motivation. What a motivation, folks, to get busy. Oh, what a motivation to try to win somebody to Christ. How many have lost relatives? Relatives that you don't think they're saved. How many have lost coworkers? How many have lost family? How long do you have to reach them? What a motivation. What a motivation. If you're like me, dealing with family and things, of course, my family, they're believers, so that's a great blessing. But neighbors, different people, you get burdened about him one day and you say, I'm going to go talk to him. And what does the devil do? He interrupts it. Or he says, you know what? It'd be better to do it next week. And next week turns into next month, which turns into next year, and it never gets done. People are always excited. Oh, the Lord's going to come back. It's going to be great. It is for us. I had a guy that lived next door for years, John Hendricks, and I witnessed to him, and I witnessed to him. He never would get saved. Finally, he moved away from here to a nursing home. I've tried to call him. Can't get a hold of him. And I thought, yeah, if the Lord came back, it'd be great for me, but not for John. Now, as believers, we have a blessed hope. And the Bible says you need to look. You need to be meditating, thinking about the fact that the Lord is going to come back. There's going to be a time when the Lord comes or he's going to take you out of here in death. And you need to prepare for it. It needs to change your life. And I'll tell you, folks, when we get focused on this great truth, it will change our lives. It really will. And the reason we live for ourselves and for the pleasures of the world and all those things is because we're not focused on the Lord's return. We're not focused on heaven. We're focused on this old earth. So I encourage you, exhort you this week, be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be thinking about the fact Jesus may come in the morning. He may come. He could come today. He could come tomorrow. Let's make sure we're saved. Let's live pure lives. Let's be comforted by that great truth. And then let's be motivated to do something for the Lord. Okay? All right. Lord, thank you for this great truth. Help us, Lord. Drive it home to our hearts. God, help it to change our lives. Help us this week to live with anticipation of the coming of Jesus Christ, knowing it could be at any time. And help us to make our lives count, I pray. And to be the kind of people we ought to be. For someone here today who's not sure of heaven, we pray before they leave the grounds of this church that they would receive Christ, become a child of God. For believers who have some things in their life shouldn't be there, God, help us to clean them up. Help us, Lord, to get busy for you. Again, Lord, my heart is thinking about family in our church, the great need today. And God, lift them up, hold them, help them. Bring great change and glory through it, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.